Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Jonah. Don't sit down yet. Book of Jonah. Find it as quickly as you can, and then we're going to have a word of prayer. Read a couple verses, then we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll get into the message this morning. Trust you came with an empty cup, ready to hear from heaven. I'm going to try to give you some great truths. I have preached from the book of Jonah many times in 41 years. And a little different angle to it this morning. I'll give you the truth. Not going to take anything out of context. And I trust this morning that God will bless all of our hearts. Now, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, we do come as a needy people. Lord, if there's any pretense of pride in our lives, we pray that would melt away right away by way of the Holy Spirit ministering in our life. God, if there's any one of us here that think we'd have all the answers, any one of us here that think our life is exactly the way you would have it to be, there's no room for improvement. Lord God, we think we know all that the book of Jonah has to say. I pray, God, that you'd melt away that pride and God, teach us. Teach us powerfully this morning because we are in desperate need in America. We pray for revival. We pray for your people to have the joy of the Lord. We ask, God, that you'd help us to be willing to lift up our cross and follow you, whatever that cross may be. But most of all, we're grateful for salvation, being full and free. Thank you, Jesus, for making a way for sinners to go to heaven. And God, thank you for eternal life that lasts forever. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I read this week of the little boy in Sunday school class, teacher asking what their favorite parable was, and the little boy raised his hands and said, "I like the parable where everybody loafs and fishes." And obviously that is not how it is in the Word of God. But we all tend to hear what we want to hear. And that's what that little boy was doing. And the Christian life isn't about loafing around and just fishing all day long. There is a mandate. There is a work that we are called to. The book of Jonah is a very powerful book. This morning, what I want to preach is how to escape God's blessing. You say, "Man, why would I want to hear something like that?" Because some of us, sometimes we run right to the devil, we run right to the culture, and try to put ourselves in the place where God has to take his hand of blessing off of our lives as New Testament Christians. And some of us, if you look around the world today, you see a lot of unhappy people. You see a lot of empty people. And they're running to narcotics, the pill, the bottle. They're running to weed. They're running to anything they can obsess over and somehow try to fill that God-shaped void that is in their life because they haven't surrendered to God. And that is the purpose of the church, by the way. We're to tell people that Jesus saves. We're to do the best we can to exalt Christ and let the whole world, let the whole culture. And I want you to know there are people all around us outside the four walls of this church right now within arm's reach that want to hear the truth. I talked to a guy yesterday, grew up in this area. I've had some contact with him in the past. He is void of Christ. He is Christ-like, and he's looking for answers, and he was asking questions, and I thought, man, here this guy was just down the road just a little bit, and he's hungry. There are people all around us that want to hear the truth, but it's no wonder to me we haven't seen revival when I look at some of the lack of joy on some of the faces of some of God's children. For some of us, We walk around with our chin hanging on the ground and wonder why we haven't led anybody to Jesus Christ. For some of us, we're the worst commercial we could ever be for the cause of heaven. And it's like some people enjoy being miserable. And they just enjoy. And the reason they enjoy it is they don't know how to do anything else. Sometimes people of God that are born again know where they're going, but they don't know who they are or what they have. And the book of Jonah, we're going to kind of look at it in light of this. This oldest, this first of the minor prophets, and we don't know a whole lot about Jonah other than the name of his father. We get that out of 2 Kings. And Jonah himself, and Jonah was one of an unusual prophet because he was not foretelling judgment to Israel and Judah because of their sin. Instead, here was a prophet, here was a preacher, a missionary, an evangelist that's called of God to go to a Gentile nation, a Gentile city, who he hated, by the way, and give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly who we are today. We're in this culture of darkness. We're in this world that is void of the truth. And we, listen, you may not hear the voice of God because you're not listening, but we are called of God to reach this world for Christ. Now, Jonah did the opposite. He runs. You want to know how to short-circuit the blessings of God in your life? Run from the known will of God in your life. Man, run from it. Try to escape God. Try to run from the God-ordained tests that God has set up for us. And pass by the will of God and do your own thing. And it's going to be a world of heartache. And it's going to be a world of woe. And you're going to get sucked right into the whole culture. And before long, you may live for a while. Even Moses said that. You know, there's some joy in serving Pharaoh for a while. But after a while, man, and he rejected it. And I hope you get there as well. In case you're on that downhill slide where you're getting more and more and more miserable. Let's look at Jonah here very quickly. Let me reread those first two verses. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. This is his call, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, an Assyrian city, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. That's our call today. 100 years before the Assyrians besieged Jerusalem. Here's a city 250 miles northwest of Babylon. God says to Jonah, the Old Testament prophet, you're going to that Gentile city, that God deny him, blasphemous city, and you're going to preach the bidding that I bid unto you. Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish, likely the Tarshish that is in Spain. He's going to get as far away from Nineveh as he possibly can. From the presence of the Lord. Now, what a fool's errand that is. Amen. Let me just say this. It's not deep, but it's true. You can't run away from the will of God. Right. How fast are you going to have to run to get away from God? How far are you going to have to run to get away from God? The smart thing would be to surrender to the known will of God and allow God to start blessing your life. And then you'll be happy. And then you'll know the joy of the Lord. Amen. Instead of running to Tarshish. Running from the presence of God. And he went down to Joppa. And that word down is found several times in the book of Jonah. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Sin, there's a gospel song that goes this, that's kind of the verses. Sin will cost you, he paid the fare, but sin will cost you more than you want to pay. And it'll take you farther than you want to go. I guarantee it. Verse 4 says, but the Lord sent out a great wind. Well, let me just say a couple of things. Jonah is running from God. He's a missionary evangelist, a prophet, and God has a plan for his life. Same's true with you. Amen. God has a plan for your life. Amen. You are playing the part of the fool if you run from God's will. You're determined to do your own thing no matter what God has planned. That is a fool's errand. And you're going to try to fill that God-shaped void with all kinds of trinkets and toys, but it's all going to come to naught. Every street is a dead-end street. There's no way you can run from the presence of God. Now, I know what you think. Well, I'll do it. I'll do my own love, my own life, and it won't hurt anybody else. And that's exactly where you're wrong. Your sin will impact everyone around you. And you say, just like every other backslider, I've been there. So is everyone here. Well, that's true, but I'm the exception. I'm not going to hurt anybody else. I'm just going to do my own thing. Jonah is a picture of a self-centered, self-serving, self-promoting, narcissistic New Testament Christian. And the church is full of those kinds of people. It's all about what can I get and what can I have. It's far better to stop the struggle, get in the known will of God, and allow God to bless. Allow Him to open the windows of heaven. Now, I'm not saying there aren't battles. There are. And there is an uphill and there's challenges. And all those tests are going to take place. But it's a whole lot different when you're serving God and you got the power of God available to you and the sweetness of the Holy Spirit available to you than when you do your own thing and you dig down into a pit and you can't just keep digging deeper and deeper and deeper. So here's the prophet. Number one, he's running from God's will. Number two, he refuses to believe that his sin will affect other people. Again, I tell you, no man is an island. Look what it says in verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind, a fierce wind, into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid. And the Hebrew actually means terrified. The mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. No such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. Man, you get to the place where you're between a rock and a hard place. I don't care how big and hard you think you are. You're turned into a praying man. When fear really strikes your heart. You say, I don't fear anything. That's baloney. When fear really strikes your heart. Maybe when you face the hand of death. Then all of a sudden, if you have time, you're going to start praying out to God. Amen. One of my best friends in Bible college was named Dennis Bieber. Dennis Bieber is still alive to my knowledge. He was a Green Beret early in Vietnam. And he would go on reconnaissance. I finally got them to tell me about it. He got the Medal of Honor and Purple Heart. I finally, one-on-one. And he'll pay my way through Bible college, by the way. All right? But because he was a dairy farmer and ends up surrendering and taking Bible classes on the side. So we met one another there. He became a good friend. And he told me they'd be 3 days on leave and then 3 days behind enemy lines. He said, Tim, time and time again, I could reach out and touch the feet of North Viet Cong regulars as they walked by us in the jungle paths. They'd sleep during the day, they'd move during the night, and do what they had to do. He said, one time we were on the side of a hill, and that's when he got the Purple Heart. We're on the side of the hill, and we were being picked off. It was hopeless. We were all going to die. All these hard-talking, hard-drinking, Green Beret, special ops men, you should have heard them crying on the side of that hillside. You should have heard them crying out to God when they knew the next bullet might be theirs. And God be praised. A chopper came in and got some of them out of there. There's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. So here are these mariners, these hard sailors. All of a sudden, they're crying out to God. Man, they know they're going to die. They're throwing their cargo overboard. Let's continue to read here. Verse 6, so the shipmaster came to me and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish. By the way, he was fast asleep, the previous verse said. The deep, dark singer, you know, the drunk seldom admits he's a drunk until he's gone so far. He's done so much damage. The selfish, the gossip, they tend to cover their own sin. We're all made of that same stuff. Jonah's asleep. And they said, every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. Your sin does impact other people. So they cast lots and the lot fell upon Jonah. Surprise. He knew it was going to. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? And what is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I'm an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceeding afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. So he told them the whole story. I serve the one and true God. I serve the living God. I serve the God of the Hebrews. I serve the creator God. And he called me to go to Nineveh. And I'm in process of running from the will of God. And I said, why? Why are you doing this? Why have you brought this sin upon us? And I remind you, if you fall away from God, dad, if you fall away from God, mom, if you fall away from God, grandpa, uncle, if you fall away from God, you're going to bring other people with you. Sis, if you fall away from God, some little sisters or little brothers, they're going to follow you. Some peers, they're going to follow you. You're going to lead them away from Christ. You're going to bring harm into their lives. It behooves us as New Testament Christians that are saved by grace, that have the joy of the Lord, to just accept the will of God in our lives and stop running from him. And understand, you or I, we're not the exception. God is going to chastise sin. We're saved by grace. He loves us, and he's going to provide for us. But if we run from him, he's going to call, because he's the good shepherd. He's going to call us home. Someone else might get hurt in the process. Well, let's read on. Verse 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? And the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And they said, well, throw us overboard. Jonah would rather die than surrender to God. He said, just throw me overboard. You throw me overboard. And they did. Three times they begged. They said, oh, God in heaven, please, is there another way? These are the mariners praying. No way out. They throw Jonah overboard. A great fish is prepared by God and swallows up Jonah. Verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Before I get to chapter 2, and I'm going to summarize chapter 2. Where are you going to run to hide from God? Tarsus isn't far enough. Your rock and roll music isn't far enough. Your evil trappings on the internet, that's not far enough. Where are you going to run? By the way, there is a crisis in America, and I'm sure you know it, and I know it. Now they're labeling it. So many people, not just of the younger generation, but mostly the young people, are living in an ulterior world. That world on the internet is more real to them than the world in your house. And they're stuck, and they're there, and it's sucking them in. Sociologists call it ocular something. I should have sounded smart and wrote it down here this morning, but where everybody, and it's happening in such a crisis amount of numbers that the secular world has taken note of it. And they're throwing their hands, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, get a psychologist. Are you kidding? Come to Christ. Amen. He is the hope. Amen. He is the answer. Don't run away from the answer. Jesus Christ is the only answer. Chapter 2, I'll summarize. Jonah prayed, I guess so. He's in the belly of the great fish, belly of the whale. He goes down, uses the metaphor of hell, says, I cried out to God. Oh, God, give me one more chance. And God does give him another chance. The fish spits him out on dry land. And chapter 3, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying. Now I want to make a comment here. Jonah repented of his running from Nineveh, but his heart did not repent of his rebellion to God. He repented of his running, but he didn't turn back. He didn't love the Ninevites. He didn't go there to see them get saved. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And so Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. That means 3 days across it. It kind of ran right up the Tigris River. And Jonah began to enter into the city, a day's journey, and he cried, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. You give the unbelievers half a chance, and a lot of them are going to get born again. If they can hear one time the gospel of Jesus Christ presented in a way that they can understand, maybe at their coffee table, maybe in their living room, maybe at church, but if they hear one time the gospel, a lot of them would come to Christ, just like a lot of the Ninevites came to Christ. Great citywide revival. Man, it impacted Nineveh for decades and decades and decades. They turned to the living God, and Jonah should have been rejoicing, but you know what he was doing? He was pouting. And I knew you were going to save him. I knew you were going to save him. He was a bigot. He really was. He was prejudiced. I knew they were going to get right with God. And so he climbs up on the bluffs of the east side of the Tigris, and he overlooks the city of Nineveh, and he waits for the judgment to fall. And it doesn't come. And a gourd grows up. God causes a gourd to grow up to offer him shade. And then the gourd dies. And Jonah curses the gourd. And God says to Jonah, Jonah, you care more about a plant than you do that great city where there are multitudes that have come to Jehovah God. Where there's 120,000 little boys and girls that don't know their right from their left hand. So many came to Jehovah God, and you're up here pouting and feeling sorry for yourself. Still rebelling. You say, well, he's not running anymore. He's running on the inside. You could come to church and have all the trappings, carrying your King James Bible and dressing up for worship and coming and meeting with God's people and lifting your voice, but you're running from God on the inside. And you're pouting just like Jonah was pouting. You heard the story of the little boy that wouldn't sit down when he was supposed to sit down. And so his mama spanked him and he sat down and he had that look on his face like he was mad at the world. And he said, and told his mom, he said, well, mom, and she said, it's a good thing you're sitting down. And he said, well, mom, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. That's exactly what Jonah was doing. He was still running from God, even though he was in the vicinity, in the location where he was supposed to be. Miserable Christians. You know how to stop the blessings of God? Number one, run from the known will of God. Run as fast as you can. Run as far as you can. Spend your whole life, spend your wealth running from God. You'll end up with nothing. Number two, think that it doesn't matter what you do and how you live, because everybody can make their own choices. That is such an immature view. Amen. We're supposed to be stepping stones, not stumbling blocks. Amen. I'm the exception. I won't impact others. Number three, just be sorry you got caught and keep running in your heart. That is not the repentance that God is looking for. But I got good news for you this morning. God is the God of the second chance. He said, Jonah, I heard your prayer. I'll give you another opportunity. God is also the God of the third chance. God will say, I heard your prayer, and I'm merciful, and I'll give you another opportunity. He's the God of the fourth chance. I think that's where I got in. And God says, I heard your prayer, and my call is upon you, and I'll give you another chance. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So we got a good group of people at Fundamental Baptist Church. I think we love God. Sometimes things get out of perspective. Sometimes we get things out of order, priority-wise, but as a whole, I believe we love God. That's why you come out to church on Sunday night. Man, that's why you come out to church on Wednesday night. That's why you keep coming to hear the same loudmouth preacher Sunday after, for 41 years, coming back Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, hearing preaching out of the same book, about the same God, about the same Savior, because you're in love with Jesus. That's wonderful. That is wonderful. But sometimes, and all of us get here from time to time, we start running from God on the inside. This sermon is for you this morning. This message from the book of Jonah to your heart. When's the last time you knelt right here at this altar? When's the last time you got on your knees right there or over there and confessed personal sin and prayed for other people and begged God for the ministry and asked God to use you, told Jesus how much you loved him? When's the last time you did that? Make sure you're not running from God. You know what Fundamental Baptist Church needs? A lot of people in love with Christ. Amen. So in love with him, nothing else matters. So in love with him, he's all we see. So in love with him, no matter how dark and bleak the society and the world and the culture gets, we're serving Jesus. Amen. If you're here, and you're hoping you're saved, you might not be saved. So you're just trying to scare. No, I don't want you to go to hell. It's real simple. It's a heart cry to God. You've got to make sure you've done that. There must be a time and a place where you are born again, where you ask Jesus to come into your heart. So as if you're here and you're not sure, or you're listening or watching by way of live stream, listening to a radio broadcast, and you're not sure, you need to bow your head right now. So let's pray one more time. And this is an appeal. This is for anyone who does not know they're saved. Dear God, just pray like this in your heart. I need salvation. I need you as my Savior. Please forgive me. Come into my life and come into my heart and save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm trusting you alone for heaven. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, you meant it. Anybody else? You say, I prayed today. I received Christ today. If you're watching by way of live stream and today you prayed and received Christ, tell somebody about it. You got to tell somebody about it. You call us, we'll help you. I'll bring you up to date on the track count. Here's what we got. This is statewide. It's filled Michigan. Out of the book of Acts, they filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. A lot of people getting excited about it, and we're trying to make sure tracts are being handed out for the month of February in every county in the state of Michigan. So we divided up the state into four quadrants, equal populations. It just went by the population, not the number of churches. And the north, of course, is where most of the smaller churches are. But here's how it worked for week one. Southwest Michigan, that's Detroit, Wayne County, all that area, 4,486 tracts handed out last week. That's to the west. Southeast Michigan, this is Detroit and stuff, 5,017. Mid-Michigan, 1,399. Northern Michigan, 6,858. So we won the first week. Now, no time to get proud because we just got one more day of this week because it goes through Sunday. So tonight we're going to count for the second week. And I'm hoping we can hold it up there. I know some people are really, really working hard. And there's testimonies of all kinds of people that have gotten born again just this last week. So sometimes when you hand out a tract, they'll ask you what it is and you have opportunity. And it might be somebody you know, so they'll sit down and talk with you. And you can tell them how to be saved. So get involved, get involved, get involved. So that's over 17,000 tracts. The first, I have a feeling the number is going to rise dramatically. I have a feeling that Southeast Michigan is going to get a little bit in gear. You know, maybe we will wake into sleeping giant. But we got week one, 4 weeks. We got week one under the belt. And I just wanted to mention that to you.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader. senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.